Off the Ball Breakfast.
GAA players are in amazing shape. Their fitness is incredible. They look professional in every aspect of it, but amazingly, like, these people still have jobs.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, we look ahead to tonight's live commentary game with Shelburne up against Linfield at Talca Park in the Conference League playoffs. Shamrock Rovers are in the Azores to face Santa Clara. And what next for Celtic after a nil-all draw with Kazakh side Kairat Almaty in the Champions League? But first to our live commentary game tonight. For the second time in the space of 6 weeks, Shelburne welcome Linfield to Talca Park. This time it's for a place in the league phase of the Conference League. Shells won 2-1 on aggregate when the sides met in the Champions League qualifiers last month. Joey O'Brien's side won the first leg 1-0 at Talca Park, and then it finished 1-1 at Windsor Park a week later. Linfield were at the very start of their season and had only played pre-season games. A 2-0 aggregate win over Žalgiris of Lithuania was backed up by a 3-2 win over Vikingur of the Faroes to set up this rematch. Linfield have found their feet in recent weeks with former Dundalk midfielder Chris Shields back, and David Healy has played two up front. Joey O'Brien feels his Shell side were good over both previous games against Linfield, but they need to be clinical tonight.
Yeah, we are good. Fell down here. We started really well. And I think, again, stuff like that, I think at moments we are good. But again, looking back on our game, I suppose the two games you look back on, I think we could have been better. I think we could have, yeah, been more clinical, top of the pitch, created quite a lot of chances, I suppose, over the two games, didn't take them. So, yeah, need to be clinical.
Shell's captain, Mark Coyle, says they have to be relentless, ruthless, and have to be ready for a Linfield reaction.
You know, we just have to be ready for it. We have to bring energy, ruthlessness, relentlessness, all them buzzwords you could say, but they actually mean something. And for us, it's just about bringing that and making sure that we put in a performance. And I feel us as a group, and if we do that and we reach our levels, then we can get a result.
Asked on whether they would have taken this position to qualify for the league phase, Joey O'Brien says they would have taken the hand off someone for it, but he also admits Linfield will be thinking the same.
Again, I suppose it's the next game in front of you is the most important one. So the game tomorrow night is the one that matters. And I suppose at the very start of the balls being taken out of the pots, if you had been offered a chance to qualify for group stages, you would have taken the hand off. I suppose we're two games away, four halves of football. But as I said, it's what's gone on in the past doesn't really matter. It's about this. And I'm sure, as I said, it's a great opportunity for Linfield. They'll see it the same way as we do. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a great couple of games.
Since that first round of the Champions League qualifiers, O'Brien says he's been keeping a close eye on Linfield.
Yeah, listen, they're a good team. So I've been obviously watching them since we last played them and that. So as far as player-wise, I think most of them, I think, played against us. So from that point of view, they're not probably changed the way they played. But again, that was that game, I suppose, and we changed it again. Obviously, we went with two out and out sort of centre forwards in the game that I've seen. But again, obviously, we mix it up tomorrow. So look at our good team. They're obviously, when there was the start of the pre season, I suppose, so they're obviously going to be fitter and match sharper. So it's going to be a tough game.
After going through in the second leg at Windsor Park, Shelburne celebrated on the pitch with Shells flags and a tricolour. O'Brien feels that stuff won't matter ahead of the game tonight.
I think so, to be fair. I think going up there, coming off the pitch, I think their fans, I think we clapped us off as well. I think we didn't get too carried away. I remember obviously in the dressing room and stuff like that, there was nothing like that. I suppose that moment that you're forward, that's what it's about, and that's what you play the game for. So I wasn't going to tell the lads to calm down. You put so much work and effort into it that when you win, you celebrate. Here, it's a bit like Rika here the other night. I mean, for me to start complaining about them celebrating around the noise they were making in their dressing room, for me, that's what football's about. It's about celebrating when you win and when you get through things. And here, I'm sure in 2 weeks' time, whoever gets through, they would want celebrating. That's all that matters.
Coyle believes that the political angle around the game is nothing but a distraction, as all he and his teammates are focused on is events on the pitch.
Well, for us, I don't think we pay any attention to that. I think that's for people outside of us to enjoy or whatever and speculate about. For us, it's another game of football against a top opposition. We've obviously come up against them before. We know what they're about. But it's something we're looking forward to, yeah. It adds to the atmosphere, that's it. But for us, it's about performing, and that's what we're focused on.
Kickoff at Talca Park tonight is 7:45, but the coverage begins on News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock. Shamrock Rovers face an uphill task to reach the league phase for the second season in a row. Stephen Bradley's side are in the Azores to face Santa Clara, who finished fifth in the Portuguese top flight last season. Only Sporting, Benfica, Porto and Braga were better than them. It's just their second season in Europe. They were comfortable 3-0 winners against Larne in the last round. They've lost both league games so far this season. Speaking to Shamrock Rovers TV, Stephen Bradley says it's a challenge they're looking forward to.
That'd be really difficult. We know they're a good team. You only have to watch a couple of their games and you see the qualities that they have. Some really athletic, quick players. And they have a real clear identity. So we know it's a tough game. But that's this stage of Europe. That's what you face. And it's a challenge we're really looking forward to.
Bradley and his family received the great news that his son Josh has been given the all clear following prolonged treatment for cancer. In an interview with Dan McDonald in the Irish Independent, Bradley described it as the best news ever. And on the LOI pod this week, Nathan Murphy was joined by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McLean, and Vinnie paid tribute to the staff in St John's Wort.
The best news of the week, obviously, was, I'm sure everyone's seen the picture, is that Stephen Bradley's son, Josh, has completed his treatment for leukemia, and he got to ring the bell in the hospital and all of that, and the photos are around. So, you know, congratulations to Josh and to Stephen and to Emma. And, you know, I'm sure people have seen the piece we did with them about what they've gone through over the last 3 years. Incredibly difficult to go through that on the personal side of things and still be front and centre in such a high-profile job. So, yeah, just absolutely brilliant, Vinny.
Yeah, no, huge. And, you got me there because the hair's standing back my neck. Like, I don't know whether I've said it before, but John's Wort has a special place in my heart. Like, my younger brother spent 2 bouts of leukemia there. And it's all at the coming back to me over the last couple of days, and to see Josh come through as well was brilliant. And it's such a special place. We think, you know, people are superstars in terms of whether it's watching Salah or whether someone like Chris Forrester and his magic or Jack Bourne and their magic, but the real stars in our world are down in John's Wort. Touch wood, they've saved Josh's life and he moves on. They saved my brother's life maybe 15, 20 years ago. Not once, but twice. So I know exactly what that family are going through. So it's so tough. It's ripped through their family. In terms of, I know how my mother and father struggled. My dad wasn't managing a football team. Wasn't standing in front of the press every Friday night. Wasn't getting a little bit of stick from away supporters. Wasn't feeling the pressure of European. So I've always had it. Myself and Stephen went head to head for a couple of years, and we never really had a sort of run in or run out. But my respect for him was always quite high. But after the last few years, it's off the charts now, because to be able to do what he's done under them circumstances, no one will ever know how difficult it is for him. So, and to how difficult it was for his wife and the other kids, because ultimately they get not left behind, because that sounds wrong, but you get left behind because the whole focus has to go on Josh. So wish the whole family well, and it's just amazing news.
You'll be able to keep up to date with tonight's game in the Azores as well on Off the Ball from 7 o'clock. That game kicks off at 8.
The John Giles era with Off the Ball has come to an emotional end.
Off the Ball wouldn't exist the way it does without the existence of John Giles.
Helped by a plethora of John's friends and family within and without football, we pay tribute to the great man in front of a selected audience.
So we are here tonight to celebrate not just the impact John has had on Off the Ball over the last 20 years or so, but really the unrivaled impact that he's had on Irish football going back 70 years.
This week in the OTB football feed, look out for the full John Giles tribute night.
If we didn't say John was the best player I've ever played with, he would tell you why he was.
Eddie, I might come to that in a minute. Yeah.
We speak to John himself about his 7 decades in football, former Leeds teammates Eddie Gray and Joe Jordan, plus tributes from Liam Brady, Brian Kerr and many more.
As you say, it's what, 20 odds?
23 years.
20 years. Well, they did well to put up with me for 20 years.
Released in 3 parts, we'll drop the first part of the John Giles tribute night on Tuesday morning. And to mark the occasion, it will be available for free for a limited time only. The John Giles tribute, only available in your OTB football feed.
Elsewhere in the Conference League tonight, Troy Parrott will look to continue his impressive start of the season for Alkmaar, who are in Bulgaria to take on Levski Sofia. The Ireland international has already scored 9 goals. 6 of them have been in European games. Andrew Omabamadeli will be expected to play a part in Strasbourg's first leg against Danish side Brøndby. Jamie McGrath will be hoping for a positive result in their first leg when they host Legia Warsaw at Easter Road. Crystal Palace will say their goodbyes to Eberechi Eze after tonight's first leg playoff against Fredrikstad at Selhurst Park. Arsenal hijacked Tottenham's deal for the England international yesterday when it looked like Eze was on his way to Spurs. But the 27-year-old will go back to the club where he was at in the youth team. The fee is €78 million for the man that scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final win over Manchester City in May. Eze is set to become Arsenal's 7th signing of a busy summer, a first under new sporting director Andre Berta since his arrival from Atletico Madrid. The move for Eze gathered speed when it emerged that Kai Havertz is facing a spell on the sidelines with a knee injury that he sustained in Sunday's win over Manchester United. The German international came off the bench in the second half at Old Trafford, but there's still no word on how long he's facing out. Despite the Eze news, Palace boss Oliver Glasner is expecting a special night for the club at Selhurst Park.
Bringing European football to Selhurst and being one puzzle piece makes me proud, yeah, because I know our fans will have a great night again, and we will do our best that they will go home happy.
Chants of sack the board were heard from the home supporters during Celtic's nil-all draw with Kairat Almaty in the first leg of their Champions League qualifier at Parkhead. Some fans are annoyed the Scottish champions have failed to strengthen in the summer transfer window. Boss Brendan Rodgers is hoping it's not an ominous warning about his own future.
What I do know is over many years, sack the board normally means sack the manager. It's normally the manager that goes when that starts to be sung.
Meanwhile, on BBC's coverage of the Champions League last night, former Scotland international James McFadden said this situation is exactly what Celtic fans feared.
The Celtic fans had a fear that this was coming, and a fear that, you know, Celtic board were waiting to see whether they were going to be in the Champions League or not. And for me, they should always be doing their business to make sure they've got the players in, to get their team ready so that they can go and win this game and they don't need to speculate whether they're going to be in the Champions League or not. So there's a lot of work still to be done for Celtic on the pitch and off the pitch.
Celtic captain Callum McGregor says it's clear that they have to add to their squad.
You have to be patient a wee bit as well and wait on the right ones. It's all well and good getting bodies in the door, but if they don't help the team, then it's pointless. So we, like I said, everyone's accountable. We have to find the right players to come in and help. We are short in numbers.
Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce failed to beat 10-man Benfica in Istanbul despite Florentino Luis being sent off with 20 minutes left. That game finished scoreless. Sheridan Shaqiri scored from the penalty spot, but it wasn't enough to give Basel a win over Copenhagen. That one finished 1-1 in Switzerland. The result of the night came in Norway, where last season's surprise package in the Europa League, Bodø/Glimt, beat Sturm Graz 5-0. Bluco, the group that owns Chelsea and Strasbourg, has reached an agreement to sign midfielder Julio Enciso from Brighton. Enciso spent the second half of last season on loan at Ipswich and has chosen to join Bluco for his next step. Personal terms for the 21-year-old Paraguay international are in place. Enciso is expected to initially spend time with the French club, but is viewed as a long-term Chelsea player. He's out at the moment with a knee injury, which required surgery. Some other potential deals to keep an eye out for Arsenal are also reportedly looking at Aston Villa midfielder Morgan Rodgers, who's been valued at £80 million. It remains to be seen whether the Eze signing will put an end to that Rodgers interest. Aston Villa right-back Matty Cash has been linked with a return to Nottingham Forest, the club where he started his professional career. However, Forest are also exploring other options, including Sevilla's Jose Angel Carmona. Newcastle have had a £40 million bid rejected by Brentford for Johan Wissa. The club continues to assess attacking options due to the uncertainty around the future of Alexander Isak. Manchester United striker Rasmus Højlund attracted interest from Napoli. AC Milan were previously linked with the Danish international but have since signed Bayer Leverkusen's Victor Boniface. Chelsea remain in discussions regarding a potential move for Manchester United's Alejandro Garnacho, although the process has been slow. Everton have renewed their interest in Southampton winger Tyler Dibling, who had been previously linked with Crystal Palace. Bournemouth are targeting Chelsea defender Axel Disasi as they look to reinforce their defence after the summer departures of Dean Howson, Milos Kerkez and Ilya Zabarny. And Liverpool are considering the future of left-back Kostas Tsimikas, who's been linked with Marseille. Well, the Premier League champions are also expected to raise funds by selling midfielder Harvey Elliott to RB Leipzig. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan and we'll be back with more tomorrow.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous and police will use tear gas.
Yes. Oh, Jesus!
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City!
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Local, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' best so far list of 2025.
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route of 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route of 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route of 25 is somehow even lonelier.